Very extraordinary family because they raised their kids for 11 years in China, homeschooling and doing a lot of different things. But of course, I'm sure it's not perfect, right? Oh, by the way, I have one special announcement. Can I ask all the men to stay after the service, okay? Something important that we're going to do. So let's give a warm welcome to Tina.
Well, happy can you guys hear me? Okay. Oh, let me introduce my family. I guess you guys know Edwin. Edwin's up in the front. And our two children, they're no longer children, they're actually adults now. Joshua, he's 21. I'm 23, sorry, 23. And then, I forgot. And then, 23. And then my daughter, 21. It's like, wow, time really flies. And happy Mother's Day. Today it's a celebration of motherhood, right? And, you know, what an amazing gift God has given us as parents. You know, parenthood really brings about unspeakable joy. And I think many of us can relate to that. But if we're also honest, it's also a time of sometimes very undeniable pain and disappointment. That's kind of the flip side of the same thing, right? And I always kind of describe it as the best of times and the worst of times. One with blessings, but also with tremendous responsibility. You know, as a parent, we're often seen as caregivers, nurturers, providers. And for Christians, we also like to see ourselves as having a place where we can guide our children in the ways of the Lord. You know, but often we don't recognize, as even in this season of parenthood, we're also asked to be a student, maybe a broken vessel, and still a disciple of Christ. And I want to kind of have a quote from Gary Thomas, and he wrote a book called Sacred Parenting. And this is what he said about parenting. Parenting is a school for spiritual formation, and our children are our teachers. The journey of caring for, rearing, training, and loving our children will profoundly alter us forever. Raising children shapes our soul. You guys agree? Yeah. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I just ask even now, Lord, as we come into your presence, that your truth, your word, will speak to us, that our hearts will be good soil, that we will hear from you, that you do not give us a spirit of condemnation, but a spirit of hope. And so, Father, we want to receive what you have for us today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to be looking at Joshua 24. And I'm sorry I don't have a PowerPoint. So if you can either use your phone or in the front, I guess there are Bibles, 169. I looked that up. So it's going to be Joshua 24. Okay, Joshua 24, verses 14, we're going to read from 14 to 24. All right, most of you have that? Joshua 24, 14 to 24. I'll go ahead and read that, and if you want to, please just kind of read aloud with me. 24, 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors. Worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord and the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." Okay, Joshua 24. Especially Joshua 24:15. I think this verse is very, very familiar, right? 24:15. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I mean, how many of you have this somewhere in your house, either on a wall or in your front door? I mean, I know we have. But actually, if you think about it, it's actually quite a bold statement. You know, what are we really saying? What are we saying to anyone who enters our house or to the world around us? We're saying that we belong to God, right? We are his people. And it's also a reminder not only for those who are coming, but it's also a reminder to us in the house, in the household. Reminder to us as parents, reminder to us, to our children, that God is in charge of this house. And actually, if you think about that, that's actually a really difficult statement, especially in a house where where your kids are around, when it doesn't seem like the words quite match up to what's really happening. It is not easy. But let's look at first this passage, and maybe from this passage we can learn something about what it means, even for Joshua, as he challenged the people to do that, to follow God. You know, the background of this, at this point Joshua was much older, and you know, I don't know how many more years, but he was kind of towards the tail end of his life. And, you know, they had conquered many people. But the work wasn't done yet. There were still enemies in the land. And the people there were probably, there were some uncertainties, some fears. You know, what would happen when Joshua's not there anymore? What would it be like? And so Joshua, knowing that his leaving might create some uncertainties, he wanted to remind them. He wanted to remind them of God's goodness and how God delivered them. So he told them about how God had been good to their fathers and how they were delivered from Egypt. how God drove out enemies from the land, how they reaped the fruits of the land, how they benefited from things that they didn't even deserve. Joshua recounted God's goodness and wanted to remind them that God was faithful. And he exhorted them, because of this, you're to fear and serve the Lord. It is because when you look back, it's like, you're so grateful that God did all of this. And what is your response? To serve the Lord. And then that's why he ends up saying, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now he begins with, as for me. You know, in any household, it starts with the parents. You know, as much as you know, we want the kids to follow God, but really, as parents, we need to lead the way. And we cannot pass on what we have not personally experienced. And so many of us sometimes, you know, as we become parents, you know, we it's easy to kind of get wrapped up in the role of parenthood. It's like, wow, my identity is being a parent and being a successful parent. And we forget that first and foremost, even before being a parent, we're a child of God. And our identity, no matter how old we are, even as parents, as grandparents, we are still a child of God. And you know, and sometimes we forget that. We forget that our identity is rooted in that. And it's important for us that we love God even more than we love our children. And I don't know about you, but practically speaking, I can say that, but practically speaking, it's very, very hard. It really is hard to love God more than it is to love our children. I know, sometimes when we're married, people always say, oh, you gotta put God before your spouse. Somehow for me, that was a little easier. I don't know about you, but it was like, okay, I can kind of do that, you know? But when it came to my children, you know, honestly, it was really, really difficult. And as I reflect on that, it's like, why is it that this is so hard? I don't know, maybe even as a mother, you know, they were there when they were just like a cell, right? When they breathed their first breath, you were there. You know, when you carried them, they were there. I mean, you were there. Somehow, the boundaries are kind of blurry between where my life ended and where theirs began. Kind of blended as one, and so it seems like even the life that I wished to have led, kind of, I was given like a second chance. It's like, wow, this is like a new person, and even though I might be in my 40s, it's like I can kind of start over again. You know, so all of this becomes a challenge when we're asked to love God more than to love our children. And, you know, the thing is, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share this space. And I know that for parents, it isn't easy. It's especially, you know, when parenthood becomes very busy. You know, parents, you know, we can live very busy lives. There's so much to do, and it's endless. It's endless. From, you know, maybe some of you have younger kids, but perhaps a lot of you have older kids. You know, the seasons don't necessarily get easier. It's just different. And you may not be as busy physically, but emotionally, you're still just as engaged. And even if not more, even more exhausted from the unknowns, right? And it's very easy to just focus in on just the family. They become the priority. And church, community, our own relationship with God, it's easy for that to take a back seat. And I know for us, that was also the case. It's a challenge. And when we look at the passage of Joshua, I think, you know, for them as they entered the land, you could still look at the enemies and it could still be just as scary. But what does Joshua tell them to do? To remember. And I think for all of us, even as parents, you know, I hope that we've also developed our own personal relationship with God. You know, think back at what that looked like. You know, I remember for myself, you know, I even before becoming a parent, I believe God prepared me for parenthood, even as a little kid. You know, as I understood what it meant for God to be my father. You know, I became a Christian when I was 13, and I saw God's amazing, amazing hand of mercy in saving my whole family. We came from a Buddhist family, but he was faithful, and I saw God's hand of mercy. When we were just married, we went through some very difficult times. We saw God's redemption, and we understood forgiveness. We understood how God can change lives. All of that, I think, is part of that preparation, that journey, even as I entered into parenthood. So sometimes when we think of parenthood, I think it's a continuation of everything that God has already been doing in our life. So it's not where we just, like, all of a sudden take a break, but really we bring all of that in to this new season. And actually, if you think about it, if we remember those things, if we remember what God had been doing all along in the past, you know, when we were a child, when we were single, when we were newly married, and how he came through in those difficult times, and how he was trustworthy, and how he was faithful, then as we enter parenthood with these new challenges, God doesn't change. He did it before, and he's going to do it again, even though it may seem very difficult. So I think for me, it always begins by remembering that it's God who's going to be with me, and God has never failed, and I don't believe he will fail even now. Joshua 24:14, he exhorts the people to fear and serve the Lord. And the Israelites at that time were challenged to throw away gods and idols of their past, right? And also the ones that are presently in their land. And back in biblical times, we think of idols and gods as something very tangible, because they actually had, you know, idols, like things that you can touch and feel. In today's world, a lot of these idols are things we can't touch, we can't feel. But they are just as deceptive, as destructive, and the goals are the same: to rob God of its place, of his place in our life. Idolatry, is basically putting anything above God. And perhaps in our society today, this God can come in the form of wealth, security, education, our children. Those all can be idols. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And he asks each one of us, who do you serve? Who's your God? Where does your security lie? For yourself, for your children. You know, Pastor Manjins, you know, talked about how we were in China for many, many years. 2003 was when we left. And when we were called at that time, you know, those very same questions. You know, God was faithful. We knew we were called to go. But then there were things we're holding on to still. I mean, we had to count the cost. There were idols. There were things that kind of was in competition, I think, with God. Securities of life in America. You know, we had good careers, security, and promising futures. I think, honestly, those things were struggles, but personally, they were not as big of a struggle as bringing my kids over. The unknown. It's like, what would happen to them? Right? What would their life be like? You know, we live in Cerritos, and you know, it's a very good place to raise kids. People move there because that's where they want their kids to grow up. That's where you have all the right schools, you know, prepare them for the right college. Just, you know, you're on track if you live there. And the idea that we're leaving that and going to a place where it's not only the other side of the world, but it's everything opposite of what Cerritos was. No school, no, very few foreigners, you know, not even talk about extracurricular. There was like nothing. So as a parent, that was a big concern. And that was something that God challenged me on personally. And I just learned at that point that, you know, God asked the question, you know, who do you serve? Who's your God? And by faith, we took the step of faith, and we went over. And people would often ask us, what was that like when we took that step? Was it easy? Did God come through? You know, I mean, you look at them now and you go, wow, God is faithful. Everything worked out. Yeah, but in between, there were a lot of stories that were pretty scary. And I don't know that, you know, if you talk to them, they might come up here and share a different story. It might sound very different from mine. It wasn't easy all the time. The way I would describe that season in terms of parenthood, I would say it was costly but rich. It was costly but rich. Sacrifices were definitely made. For them, friends were few. Educational sources were very limited. I remember, for them, our two children are very social. If those of you who know Edwin's like Mr. Socialite. Well, the kids are just like him, okay? And having that personality and being in a place where there's like nobody, it is very, very lonely, very isolating. You know, loneliness, isolation were realities for them. It was things that they struggled with, and I saw it a lot. And as a parent, seeing that, it's painful, because sometimes it's something you can't force to happen, right? You can't force a friend to come. These are things we couldn't control. No, but God was rich. You know, there were two instances that just showed God's amazing, amazing provision. I remember we were probably six, seven months into China at that point. It was just the two of them there, and there was one other foreign kid. Just one, and she was a girl that was kind of in between Joshua and Aaron's age. And so there were just three of them in the whole city. And so they came and they played. And I remember, because there were two girls, right? So they would play Barbies all the time. And Josh, being the normal, healthy boy of seven, after 6 months, he goes, "Mom, I cannot do Barbies anymore. I just can't do this. And it was hard. It was really hard." And he was saying, "God, he just says, I don't ask for much, Mom. I just want God to just give me one friend." As a parent, hearing that is painful, because you can't give him one friend. And I remember that it was costly for them. But we prayed, because there's nothing we could do. We just prayed. And this was the first miracle. Literally, I think 5 minutes later, we get a phone call. A family had just moved in from England and to our little town, had a family of four boys, and heard that there was one other foreign kid in this little town and wanted to invite him out to a party. I just could not believe that. God provided. Nothing we could have done. Nothing. Sacrifices were made, but God was rich. Throughout the course of those 11 years, it was up and down. It was hard. They've had many mission, other kids that have come and gone in our little town. There were families that came with 3-4 years, and they would move on. They would move back to their home country, or they would move to bigger cities where there were more kids. And I remember, sometimes my kids were saying, "Why are we the only ones left? Why is it that other parents care about their kids enough to provide for this need, and why are we still here?" But despite that, God trained them in those 11 years and brought friends and family and community that looked different. It wasn't necessarily always with peers. It came in the form of, a Chinese teacher who became one of Aaron's best friends. She's like 35, and she was in her 20s, and Aaron was like 7 or 8. But she was her best friend. It came in the form of our Christian community who were our age, but who became surrogate parents, who spoke into their lives. It looked different. And I'm so grateful that today they're normal, healthy. They're not too deprived. I'm just so grateful that God took care of them in that way. When it came to school education, well, it was also very, very challenging. We homeschooled them because obviously there was nothing there. And I'm not a teacher. And homeschooling was a struggle from the beginning to the end. And it was difficult because, not only because I wasn't a teacher, but because they were strong kids. They challenged me all the way. It seemed like there was no break. And I remember one of the struggles, I felt like we were constantly fighting a lot. And one struggle that happened that I think God used to really, again, reveal to me some of my own idols that I was still holding on to, came when I think Josh was probably in 10th grade. He was a high schooler. Can you imagine homeschooling a high schooler? That was crazy. But anyway, so I was still being that anal, you know, Chinese parent, even as a missionary. So I signed them up for AP classes online, which was a disaster. But anyway, so we're going through that process, and I think, you know, Josh was just kind of fed up with study, and he didn't want to do it anymore, and he kind of toyed with the notion. I think he was kind of just testing me. He says, "Mom, what if I just didn't go to college? You know, I was like, is that a problem? You know, my mind, you know, Asian mom's like, yes, I'm a missionary, but, you know, college, that's in our DNA. You cannot not go to college." Didn't say that, but of course I felt it. And he gave me an example, because there were, at that time, he had a few other missionary friends, and I guess their education was slightly different. And one such friend, remember Caleb? He was a really good welder, and his plan was to go to trade school, and to be a welder. And I remember Josh basically came right out and asked me, he says, "You know, Caleb is going to go to welding school. He wants to be a welder. You know, so are you telling me that because I go to college, that I'm actually better than he is?" And I go, of course I would say no, but in my heart, if I were to be honest, I basically said, I was thinking, yeah, because in my mind, college meant success, which meant security, which kind of, you can kind of fill in the blank, you know, and as I started thinking that, it sounded really bad, because that's exactly what I was, if I followed my train of thought, that's where it meant, what it meant. College meant this, this, and this. And I was no better. But, you know, I'm so grateful because I said it, it came out, I saw it for what it was. You know, it was a lie. It was my idol. I was holding on to my version of success. And so when he called it out, I realized I was wrong. And so in this whole process of homeschooling, I think God taught me of my own weaknesses, of my own struggles, of my own idols, and challenged me to let go. So they're here today, and I'm so grateful for how God has used the two of you to shape me. I know today is celebration of motherhood, but I really, really want to celebrate God and how as a parent that I've been blessed with the two of you who have shown me what it meant to love God more, to trust God more. Even as you enter into adulthood, I think, you know, even, you know, we're parents forever, but as a brother and sister in Christ, I can see you speaking into our lives, and that is such a blessing. So thank you so much for that. I think I'm out of time, but thank you so much for this discussion.
Let's give Tina a hand again. I know that they have a lot more stories regards to how God provided for education for both Joshua and for Aaron, and how they were not one GPA score behind when they were here in the U.S. After the service, I'm gonna pray and have the benediction. After the service, if some of you mothers would like to be prayed for, just come forward, and Edwin and Tina would like to pray for you. So this is purely voluntary for some of you who may feel like you're struggling, or you feel like you are overwhelmed with certain things, or just want prayer, then we're just going to do that for you. So let's pray. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, because yes, in our heart of hearts, we do want to follow you. But Lord, sometimes we struggle with understanding what that means. And yet, Lord, you mold and shape each one of us. I thank you all for all the mothers who are here, but I also know that all the mothers struggle, no matter what age the children are, because there will always be mothers. But I thank you for each one of them. And as they learn to be students, as Tina said, that Lord, that you shape each one of them. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go with God. Mothers who want to be prayed for, come to the front. Men, just stay in the back. Because Pastor Ken's going to come and give us some instructions.